Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing discussion of Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We're always discussing this because whatever we discuss in our discussions of Krishna consciousness are all based on this principle that we're all eternal, we are living beings, eternal servants of Krishna. At least we should always be discussing this. I want to, in the upcoming Shravan Kirtan camp, touch on the dangers, and that's going on also in the Prakriti Rasa Shatadushini series, the dangers of misidentifying what is not pure devotional service with devotional service. And problems arise. But what we're saying, Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that should be what we're always discussing. Whether it's overt or it's there in the, it's understood as the background of everything we're doing. Just like I often make the statement that in Srila Prabhupada's books, every line, every word is just pulsating with surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And you look it up and say that the river Alakananda is flowing. What's that got to do with it? It doesn't say surrendering to Krishna, but it's the pulse. It's something like you might not, in a musical composition, you might not notice the bass percussion. The bass and the percussion in the but the dun 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 dun, dun the pounding the rhythm is always there. So this Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that is the basis of everything we're doing, everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach, everything that Srila Prabhupada came to preach, and everything that we who are supposed to be followers of Srila Prabhupada should be preaching and living, and that is what we're supposed to be imbibing. So it is important to discuss it. There are so many discussions of philosophy. That's another point I might get into tomorrow, how devotees are reading so many things and esoteric things and this and that, but first get the basis very strong. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So anyway, I'll probably finish this phase of the discussion, and then there's Vatsal Prabhu, Bahushira Prabhu had some points I wanted to raise for discussion, so we can be open to that. So Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically says Krishna. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. Well, we may say someone is worshipping Rama, someone is worshipping Narayan, Vaikunthanath, the Lord of Vaikuntha, someone is worshipping Lakshmi Varaha. But that's all within the umbrella of Krishna. And we may say that, well, Krishna Das, why Krishna Das? Not everyone's Krishna Das, because there are different moods, right? There's Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Shringara, or Madhurya. But this point is strongly established in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in relation to Advaita Acharya, that even though Advaita Acharya, he is Ishvara, this is discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he also wants to take the role of the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, So it is established with scriptural quotations by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that even though Advaita Acharya's Mahavishnu avatar and all the forms of the Lord, including Krishna himself, want to be a servant of Krishna. Even Krishna himself is attracted to Krishna, which is why he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And say, yeah, that's okay, but that's not in Vrindavan. But in that same section, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami establishes that all the he gives quotes how Radharani is posing herself as a maidservant of Krishna, how Nanda Maharaj is saying that we are all servants of Krishna. So there are the higher forms of attachment to Krishna, but they're all based on dasya rasa, on the mood of service, because we are all constitutionally servants of Krishna, and that applies to everyone, specifically the jivas. The jivas are eternal servants of Krishna. Jiva means living being, so all the living beings, even Krishna himself is a jiva. One of the names of Krishna is Jiva, because jiva means living being. So he's the supreme jiva, we can say. But then we have to understand the term jiva in a little bit differently, because jiva, the term, is generally used to differentiate between there's svangsha vibhinangsha. There's Krishna himself, and then there are his personal expansions, the Narayan forms, and then there are the jivas, and there's Shiva tattva and Shakti tattva. But Krishna himself is jiva, he's living, but generally the term jiva is used to refer to the vibhinangsha, who are also in one sense non-different from Krishna, but they are mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. The jivas are eternal parts of Krishna. Parts means they share in the qualities, but not exactly the same. And we have the example is given right in these two verses that we read. Suryangsha kiran jayche, agni jvala choy. The two examples are given. Just like the particle of the sun ray is part of the sun, not different from the sun, dependent on the sun, but not the sun. And the spark of a fire is the same thing. It's part of the fire, it's dependent on the fire, but not of the same quantity, has the same quality of fire of giving heat and light, but it is much smaller. So in the same way, this oneness and difference is established. This is essential to understand that Krishna Nityadas, that we are servants of Krishna. That is the basic point to understand. We're all servants of Krishna, which means that we're supposed to serve Krishna, and that service is meant to be selfless. That Krishna, ekale Ishvara Krishna, asabhritta. That Krishna is the one controller, and all others are his servants. And this leads us to consider, well, what kind of service? There are different kinds of service. There's paid service. There may be a nice relationship between the employer and the employee, but the basic principle of the relationship is payment. You may think, well, I really like my boss. I'm happy to have such a good boss, but if for some reason or other he can't pay you anymore, the relationship terminates. You may remain, there may be some kind of relationship, but the relationship of employee and employer is broken because the basis is payment. But then we find the gopis as if complaining, stating how Krishna has them as Ashulka Dasika, free and unpaid servants. So that is the desire to be simply to serve Krishna. Then what is there? Because the living being seeks pleasure. So the pleasure comes from the service itself. So that leads us to the very important point. What kind of service? What's in it? If we have desire, how is our desire fulfilled? But that mentality of desiring, thinking that I am the central point of enjoyment, that is the whole material disease. And when we understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, that means 24 hours a day for Krishna's pleasure only. It's not a business deal. That brings us to the essential point that Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Tare Premanam. Activities performed for the sake of our own sense gratification are called kama, or material lust. And activities performed only for satisfying Krishna's transcendental pleasure is called prem. I may think, we heard all that stuff before. That's ABC stuff. But unless we get that, we're not going to get it. You can talk about gopis and Ras Leela and Krishna stealing Radharani's clothes or whatever. You can go, but we won't even get a slight understanding of what all this is about unless we have completely internalized the sense of I am living only, jiva, I'm living only for Krishna's pleasure. It's not for me. And then that is the very beginning of the process of devotional service that Rupa Goswami comes to teach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't the first to promote devotional service to Krishna, nor was he the first to promote the chanting of the holy names, but he very much clarified the issue. Well, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal the glories of Radha's love for Krishna and the gopis' love for Krishna. But even to begin to reveal that, it's not a matter of just telling some stories, but the principle has to be there, which we find at the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the beginning of it's our entry into what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, what Srila Prabhupada came to give, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana vritamanukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. That the entrance into what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give is the principle of cultivating devotional service without any personal desire, simply for Krishna's satisfaction. Krishnarte akhila cheshta. Everything we do is simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Simple principle. It's not, we're saying it is philosophical, and it's a very simple point to understand. Philosophically, it's very simple to understand. It's not very complex philosophy. It's a very simple point to understand. Everything we do for the pleasure of Krishna. But that point we have to get right, and we have to emphasize it again and again and again and again. Otherwise, nothing works. You can have a complex machine, but you have to have the setting just right. If the wattage isn't right, I guess you can't have too much. You can't. Maybe that's not such a good example, because you can't have too much current of Krishna bhakti. But the settings have to be just right. Just like on the radio, the bandwidth has to be just right. If you're not properly tuned in, then you don't get it at all. Or if you're almost tuned in, you get something, but it's all mixed up with something else, and it's not very clear at all. So this, we just have to be tuned in exactly to this point that we're jiva, we're living, and we're not in our proper position. There's something wrong. Even if we have a nice house in the country, and enough money, and a pretty wife, and a nice dog who licks us, and everything's nice, but something's wrong. Actually, everything's wrong if we don't understand this simple point that we're eternal servants of Krishna. There's something wrong means birth, death, old age, and disease. We're living happily, but that can change at any moment. So many people were living peacefully in the countryside, in Ukraine, living a happy, peaceful life on their farm, raising pigs for slaughter, and nice life. And all of a sudden, everything is upside down, inside out, back to front, and everything is just changed overnight. So, something's wrong. When we realize something's wrong, then it's time to think how to make things right. In material existence, we're always trying to adjust the material situation so that it's just right. At the present time in the world, so many people are realizing there are so many things wrong. We're never going to get it right. We thought, well, we'll just adjust the climate problem and then everything will be all right. And we'll just adjust this problem and that problem and make everyone equal in society, which is impossible, a ridiculous idea. Make everyone equal and then make everyone good. And that's not possible. But the idea, we just have to adjust this and that and make some adjustments and everything will be all right. But the one adjustment we have to make, Srila Prabhupada makes this point in his preface to The Nectar of Devotion, the one thing we have to do to make everything, the one switch we have to flick to make everything bright is just Krishna, understanding that everything is wrong. We're not in our proper position. What is our proper position? Our constitutional position is as the eternal servant of Krishna. It's not a difficult philosophy to understand, but it's difficult to accept because birth after birth after birth, we have this Ishvaro hum feeling that I should be in the center. Whatever we do, we think, what is for my self-interest, defining myself in terms of what I am not, but what material nature has served up to us at the present time. So we need to understand philosophically at first. Often we're asked, well, how can we realize that we're not the body? We understand it theoretically. How can we realize it? It can be difficult when you have a toothache, for instance. It can be difficult because it sure feels like I'm the body. How can we realize? We realize by practicing it. The practical realization of I'm not the body comes when we act as the servant of Krishna. So by performing devotional service, consciously thinking, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, then the realization that I am a servant of Krishna, that becomes internalized. So we are the eternal servant of Krishna. Servant, this point, servant is very strongly stressed because we have such a deep contamination, such a deeply embedded contamination over many, many millions of lives, so that it seems proper to us to want to serve ourselves, but it doesn't make any sense, because what we think is myself is just in a short time in one body, then I go to another body, and then I think this body is myself, with another whole set of paradigms related to that body, and it goes on and on and on and on. So philosophically we understand we have to internalize that by serving Krishna in the association of devotees who reinforce by their by practice and precept, by their activities, and by reminding us verbally all the time that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Everything we are meant to do for Krishna's pleasure. And we are eternal servants of Krishna means that we perform devotional service. Some people may perform devotional service with an ulterior motive. We have in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes, Chaturvidha bhajante maam janasukritin arjuna arto jignyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of people, Krishna says, approach me to serve me. Someone who is distressed, one who desires money, one who is inquisitive, and the best, one who from the outset accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his eternal servant. So from the outset, the jnani means one who knows and accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and concomitant with that, that I am his eternal servant, one who has that motive to serve Krishna, Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatma eva me matam. Krishna says the jnani is the best. I accept him to be just like me. He's part of my entourage. Krishna accepts him into his heart because he's given his heart to Krishna. But someone who approaches Krishna for money or for resolving material problems or out of intellectual curiosity, they're not in the proper position, but they are pious, and by proper association, by good association, they can become purified. However, their position is not the same as those who have consciously decided that my life is meant for Krishna. Now we're having an initiation ceremony coming up in a few days' time. The initiation ceremony is for those who have made the vow, the goal of their life, to fully surrender to Krishna. And it's not for mixed devotees. It's not for those who have come to Krishna, I'm serving you, Krishna, but I want something back. Then you're not in the position of eternal servant. That's not the position. That means you want something from Krishna. And you may go on serving Krishna, but again, it's like a business deal. I'm serving and I get something back. So eternal servant. Bhavantame vanu charam nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshiyashami sanata jivita. That is our eternal happy position. That when one identifies oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna, and then all the swirling, twirling, somersaulting of the mind, which causes us so much agitation and causes us to swirl and twirl and somersault in between different species of life, that comes to an end simply by Sarvadhaman Parittaja Mame Kam Sharanam Rajahang Tva Sarva Pabebhyo Mokshayasami Masucha. Just by this one act of surrendering to Krishna, all these unending problems, ashesha, klesha, nishesha, what is that in Queen Kunti's prayers? What does she say? Kunti's prayers in this regard? No, that's, Srila Prabhupada said that's the synopsis of material existence. Look it up. Kunti's prayers 1:8. So that all comes to an end by this one act of surrendering to Krishna, and then we become very, very happy, very, very satisfied in Krishna's service by accepting our position as as the eternal servant of Krishna. So there are so many shastric descriptions in this regard. I was just quoting from Yamuna Acharya, and we have in Srimad Bhagavatam. No. It's I can't remember it now. No. Anyway, there are so many shastric descriptions, and maybe we can train up some of our Gurukul boys that they have some more brain so they can remember all these things. No, can't find it. No. It's the first two lines. Okay, well, we could go on and on and on like this. We should go on and on and on like this. This understanding, if we can get it right, we are all eternal servants of Krishna. No. But this completely nullifies the impersonalistic idea. Yeah, bhava pravaho paramang padam puja. Yeah, okay, all right. But that's not what I'm looking for. The impersonal idea that yes, we'll serve Krishna for now and then we'll become Krishna. There's some Mayavadi, this is in the 1970s, Ravindra Saruprabhu wrote in one of his essays in Back to Godhead, some Mayavadi came to one of the temples, some Indian Swami came to the temple of Krishna, ISKCON temple in America. He's looking around, said, yeah, very nice, everything very good. He said, I'm very happy with the way you're serving me here. What a rascal. I'm still trying to remember it. Give that to me, first canto, chapter 8. It's very good, you should learn this. You have good brains, good South Indian brains. You should learn all of this. So many South Indian brains are wasted in IT. Right, Gopal? All that good brain power which your forefathers used for studying Shastra is now used to serve some demons who are messing up the whole world with their whatever they're doing. I don't know. It's very common. You need a good brain to do all that stuff, but it's unfortunate. Of course, you're from the smarter side, so that's also a mess up, right? Smarter means they're either karma-kandi or the karma-kandi mixed up with all strange ideas from Advaita-vad. Sophisticated Vedantic Maya, you can say. You're looking it up? You're trying to find that verse also in Kunti's prayers? Okay, get it. And I guess I can, in the meantime, you can have some questions. The Kunti's prayers begin. Namaste Purushang Chajam. Bhave smin klishamananam avidya kama karma bhi. This is the situation of the material world. In the material world, bhave smin, in this bhava, this is text 35, chapter 8. In this bhava, in this material world, klishyamananam, those who are suffering, avidya kama karma bihi. That's one word. Desires produced from ignorance, which propel people to perform various activities in this material world. So in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says that this is a summary of material existence. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi. And then again, it comes up to a similar thing like shrinvanti gayanti, but shravana smarana hani karishyanti kechana. Some say that Krishna appeared in order to renovate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. And then the next verse is shrinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshasa, which brings out the that point more. So, Vatsal Prabhu, you were going to ask a question, was it? Who was that? You were going to ask a question. Now we're going to come to the question. Is it inherent or...
Is the sarup of the jiva inherent or inherited, like from the guru? Or is it already in the jiva? Is it inherent?
Is it inherent? And then we come to the point, did we fall from the spiritual world?
Oh, no, not going that far.
No, that's the... No, it's the question becomes... The two are linked.
Yes.
Because if we fell from the spiritual world, means we're doing something up there already, so we're going to regain when we go back to Godhead. Mm. You may have heard that phrase before. Then we take up where we left off. It's a big point of controversy. I heard from Srila Prabhupada, and you did, that we were with Krishna in the spiritual world. And you can go on discussing as much as you like, but Srila Prabhupada also said, repeating Ramanujacharya in this respect, that we need not have too much discussion of all these things. We're drowning in the ocean and we have to get out. Exactly how we got here, it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable that if we're in the land of love, that we would ever want to leave it. But on the other hand, if we don't have independence, then there's no question of love, which means there is the possibility of misusing it. So all these questions are mixed up. There is a statement early in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, which summarizes the position, swapna eva ihanjasa, that our position in material existence is like a dream, that it's not our real existence. And even though it may go on for a long time, very, very, very long time, we have existence before this, before and after the dream, we have existence. So that's my understanding, and let those who are very deep in all these matters argue it back and forth, and let them do so. But if we say that it's not inherent in the jiva, they say that, well, Prabhupada said that because it's something he was preaching to Christians or something, but it seems to me like around the other way, that it's more like the Christian idea that you're born, you never existed before, and then you go to heaven, or more likely you go to hell. But if you go to heaven, then it's like coming into being, and you never exist, you never had any relationship with God, and all of a sudden, dong, you're there, and then you can go to heaven if you're lucky enough to get in the right church and say the right prayers, and there's no intelligent way of understanding which is the right one. Otherwise, you get thrown in hell forever.
Well, Well, the Mayavadis.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, from the other angle.
But in the meantime, my personal policy is just to take Srila Prabhupada straightforwardly on that. That's all. And Bhaktisthan Saraswati also used the term back to Godhead. It appears even among the Gaudiya Acharyas that there seems to be some difference in this regard. What can I say? Then who am I to get into the scuffle? Then please, you're going to say something?
The other angle is that these Babaji's of Vrindavan, they said, well, we give you Siddha Pranali. So in other words, we'll give you
your Swarup.
Yeah.
There appears to be something like, it's all very complex stuff. And I guess the gurus should get into this very deeply to explain it to their disciples. Or we can take the attitude that, well, where we are right now, we need to do some pretty basic work at the basic level. We got to clean up our own hearts and spread the chanting widely. So that's what I often think in relation to myself. There are so many devotees on the very high levels of philosophy, but all the big philosophers are discussing, someone's got to come and sweep the floor also. So that's also required. And I mean, while the philosophy is going on, the garbage is piling up and the world's going to hell. So let those who are deeply concerned about these issues discuss. But either way, we have to have an attitude of surrender to Krishna. Doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, there's no question of going back to Godhead or to Godhead where we were never there before or whatever, unless we have an attitude of full surrender to Krishna. So that is required to be imbibed. And then everything will be revealed. It's one of the controversies it flares up from time to time. It's like a volcanic eruption. And at the present time, Vesuvius is getting active. And maybe it will go on like that. And it'll go on and on and on. And there's never going to be any end to this discussion. Anything else? Any other points? Please give the mic.
May I ask a question from this morning's class, or do you want me to not?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
No, I started saying that I didn't want to take any questions because the questions might touch something which is going to... Because actually the morning class, midday class, and this evening class, it's all one class actually. So I wanted to finish and then take
in the midday class. So you had made a statement like, that everybody thinks my religion is the best religion. And it's the best religion because it's my religion. And even though generally it's handed down through our parents. So now, don't we do the same thing? You know, you had said how we kind of search and then come to the conclusion that we found the absolute truth. But don't we also put down other religions, even like other sampradayas, and then even Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially if they're not in ISKCON? So how are we different than them?
Yeah, that's a consideration which I was thinking of when I spoke that. Therefore we should understand, and therefore Srila Prabhupada gave so many books, and then he wanted us to discuss and understand this. Putting down others, it's not simply a matter of saying we're right because we're right and they're wrong because they're wrong. It's just like Srila Prabhupada said, we shouldn't just say that God is great, but we should know how He is great. So if we want to say that this path is the best path, we should know how that is so. And other, just like if you go to Islam, they'll say this is the best religion because of this, 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 and that. And they'll give their reasons. That may be discussed with them also. From my vantage point, any religious system which doesn't have knowledge or acceptance of the fact of reincarnation is based on a very deep misunderstanding. Because the whole idea that you only get one, God only gives you one chance and then He sends you to hell forever, is not consistent with the idea. That's a big thing in Islam, isn't it? He's all just. Allah is all just. But where is the justice? Putting down others, just for the sake of saying putting them down, that shouldn't be. We should point out that there are serious flaws. If you, we're talking about love of God, and then we're unnecessarily killing animals. That's not good. That's inconsistent. There may be a tendency like that. And definitely we think this is best, otherwise why should we do it? Well, it may be that we're just born into it and that we do it. That may be there also, but that we should try to understand. And that's why other sampradayas, I personally am not much into that, putting down other sampradayas within our Vaishnava tradition. There may be, I don't know why you should do that. I mean, maybe we did that more in the past, but we've got enough of our own dirty luggage in ISKCON now that we should be careful about pointing out the flaws of others. Anything else you'd like to say about that? Are you satisfied?
Yeah. But still, say other sampradayas, South India, where you live, right, worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, and certainly we think...
Well, we do say that worship of Krishna is on a higher level, that we do. I mean, I don't go to Sri Vaishnavas or Madhvas and say, hey, look, you're just going to Vaikuntha, ha, 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 ha. I don't do that. I mean, culturally and devotionally, when I see my own position and where I'm coming from, they're way, way ahead of us. And when Srila Prabhupada is talking about he wants to make brahmanas in the West, and I see these brahmanas and the culture they have, I'm saying, whew, we got a long way to go, because there are some who still maintain the culture. And it's not a matter of being haughty or snooty, but of just being in their whole life is just naturally devotional. So Yeah, my feeling is that we need not enter into polemics with that. When I meet with favorable members of Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, then there's an unspoken understanding that we don't point out or try to say I'm better than you or you're better than me, but it's a mutual appreciation. That's the... It's a happy platform. And as one I was speaking with, he said, yes, as some people from a Sri Vaishnava background, they take to Krishna consciousness via ISKCON, and they take up that line, and in that way they go away from our sampradaya. But on the other hand, there are others also who were not practicing, and so we're happy to see they're practicing, they weren't practicing, and some of them are inspired by ISKCON, and our own sampradaya is becoming enriched because they prefer to come back to their ancestral culture. So in that way they're getting enriched. So the one thing I generally see in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially in relation to ISKCON, generally, is non-envy and not critical. One time I was living for some time in Udupi, which is the main seat of the Madhva Sampradaya. This is a long time ago. And just opposite from the house that we were renting was a Madhva Brahmin by birth and following his culture, and he was running an electrical shop to keep his life going on. But we'd hear him every morning doing his puja, loudly chanting mantras. He was very open to us. He'd even invite us into his home, us, lectured by background, and feed us sumptuously with prasada. So what happened, this is a long time ago, he was a life member of ISKCON from Bangalore, which then seceded from the Bombay and they became the Ritvik Temple, and they sent out a magazine to all their life members saying all the bad things that ISKCON, the gurus are doing and everything. And then I came to know that, so I said, oh, so you saw that magazine? He said, yeah. And he said, well, what do you think? He said, it doesn't bother me. I said, why? He said, well, you know, I was raised in our sampradaya, and we have so many internal problems. We know that's going to be there. But he said, I'm not attracted to ISKCON because of that. Even before they sent that magazine, without anyone telling me, I knew there must be so many things like that. But I didn't become attracted to ISKCON because of that, but because of the bhakti. So that was, and he didn't change his attitude toward us in the slightest. In this regard, I heard an anecdote from Australia where our movement was going very strongly under Bhavananda Goswami in the 1980s. And then the news came out of his severe difficulties by which he had to step down from sannyas and the role of guru. And then I heard some people were saying in Australia, oh, now I know it's a bona fide religion. Because always we used to see they're all happy and dancing and everything's good. But when we know that things are going wrong, then we know it's a real religion. Strange. What is that? Shri Bhakti. What is that? Shri Bhakti Marge Kalo Kantaka Koti Rudha No, it's Kalo Sri Bhakti Marga Kantaka Koti Ruta. In the age of Kali, the path of bhakti is set with innumerable thorns. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can go through anyway. Anything else? Ah, yes, please.
In the fourth... Hare Krishna. Yeah, in the fourth canto here in the purport, Prabhupada addresses this issue with great compassion, I thought.
You know, which issue?
It's the fourth canto.
Could you please keep the mic a little closer?
It's the fourth canto,
yeah.
Purport.
Yeah, regarding?
Addressing this issue of other Vaishnavas.
Other Vaishnavas.
Yeah. If I could read, it's a short paragraph. It says, among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity. But despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, still, every one of us is preaching this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity, producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of Europeans and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. This cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it.
Jai, thank you.
It's just some of Prabhupada's compassion towards all the other Vaishnavas.
And I feel that that should be our basic attitude. And I feel that is Srila Prabhupada's basic attitude also. I wrote in that... book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, that although I didn't want to get into all the problems in the Gauriya Math, only as much as it pertained to the life, we can say, of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but it's not my business to look into all the dirty laundry and this and that. And I'm making this book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. And I say that undoubtedly if we see the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, that his often fractious relationship with his godbrothers, I'm not going to discuss that in detail, because it's not his... Undoubtedly there were some rough dealings or severe difficulties in the dealings and between Srila Prabhupada and his godbrothers. But that's not his eternal relationship with them. His eternal relationship with them is that they're all godbrothers at the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So that should be accepted. That should be our understanding, as I say. There's no need to perpetuate difficulties. But it may be that the difficulties are, I just heard that some people are within the contemporary Gauriya Math are criticizing Prabhupada, and the same thing coming up again. Hare Krishna. It's the influence of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. So, if there's nothing else we're going to discuss on any more questions, then we can sing another kirtan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's relating to philosophy. Yeah, you have another question there? In the meantime, you can get that up on the screen, that song, Keshava Tua Jagat Bichitra. Then?
So, Guru Maharaj, you gave the example of the sun rays and sunlight, and of how the sun rays are dependent on the sun and is not the sun. And at the same time, we also I'm trying to understand if there's any analogy to show how Krishna is fully independent of the jivas, in the sense that yes, he interacts with his energy, yes, he expands his energy, but it is not that the energies make up him.
That's a bit like the Sharia bhav, isn't it, of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, but we don't have that.
Yes. Is there any analogy that is given by our acharyas to...
Well, this is the standard analogy, and that's from the Vishnu Purana. Right after this, we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that verse is quoted from Vishnu Purana, right? Yeah. Ekadesha stithasya agneya jyotsna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shaktista tedam akilam jagat. This is from the Vishnu Purana, and that exactly corresponds to Suryangsha kiranjoiche agni jala choi. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over this universe. So that example of the fire, actually the sun example is not given here, but that's the example of the fire. So that analogy is given. So you're saying that's an incomplete analogy because the sun... Or the fire is made up of sparks. Well, that's one perspective, but the spark doesn't really exist. The spark only exists when it goes outside the fire. You don't talk about when there's the flame, you don't say it's made up of little sparks, because spark means it's vibhinna, it's a separated part. So in the same way, when we say Krishna, just like when we say a king, we mean the king, the kingdom, the citizens, the subjects. So they're all part of his being the king. There's no meaning to him being a king unless he has a kingdom and subjects. So in that way, you could say that the existence of Krishna's devotees makes Krishna what he is. But at the same time, although the king may be dependent in one sense on the subjects, they could revolt, for instance, and he needs them to pay their taxes and all this and that. But Krishna, a basic principle of who Krishna is his independence, as stated in the beginning of Bhagavatam. But then that independence is compromised, but not in a material way. But he is dependent. He's, again, it's both. He's independent and dependent. Aham bhakta paradhino. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, we have swarat. Krishna is independent. That's a basic principle. But then when we get up to the ninth canto, we find out aham bhakta paradhino. I am dependent on my devotee. I'm subordinate to my devotee. And just to underline the point, Krishna says, Nahya Swatantra Iva Dvija. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Dvija, you big Brahmin, big brain, big yogi, Durvasa. Did you understand that? I'm not independent in the slightest. This is in relation to his devotees. So it's different rules. You may say that... Why do the big rich people get away with so many things? Because they're big rich people. There are different rules for them. And that's just the way society has been since time immemorial. And you may say, well, it shouldn't be like that. Everyone's equal in the eye of the law. But practically, it doesn't work like that. Certain people are privileged. They're not all equal. So for those who are pure devotees of Krishna, they're not under the same rules. Not that we should think, well, I'm a pure devotee, so I can do what I like. That becomes very dangerous. But it's a fact. They're not under the same rules. Krishna has a different relation to them. Right in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha. I'm equal to all. I don't love anyone or hate anyone in particular. Oh, and by the way, yeba janti tumam bhaktat, what is it? Maite teshu chapyaham. But those are my devotees, they're under different rules. The king comes out in public and says, yes, all my citizens, they're all equal to me. What about your family members? Well, they're my family members. You're just an ordinary citizen. You can't question that. That is the rule. And now in our modern ideas of democracy, we think everyone should be equal. But it's not. It was not like that in monarchy. It's understood that the king and his onto the inner circle, they have special privileges. Why? Because it's the daughter of the king, so special privilege. That just for that reason alone. Of course, in Krishna's realm, it's due to their great love. It's not due to it's not a material facility, but that example is applicable. So, anything else? Otherwise, we'll sing Keshava Tua Jagat Bichitra. Is it up there? Is the translation there also? Okay, read out the translation.
This material creation of yours, Keshava, is most strange. I have roamed throughout the forest of this
most strange, Vichitra, strange. But it can also mean variegated. Variegated and multi-dimensional and difficult to understand. There are so many nuances on this word. Keshava tua jagata bichitra.
I have roamed throughout the forest of this universe in consequence of my selfish acts, and I have beheld many strange and curious sights. Forgetfulness of your lotus feet is bought on anguish and grief. As I burn this fire of misery, my would-be saviors, Kapila, Gautama, Kannada, Jaimini, and Buddha, come running to my aid. Each expounds his particular view, dangling various pleasures and liberations as bait in their philosophical traps. They're all cheaters, averse to your devotional service, and thus fatally dangerous. They are magnates of karma, jnana, and yoga, who specialize in opinions and proofs for cheating the materially inclined. Bhakti Vinod, considering refuge at the feet of the Vaishnavas is essential, pays his respect to these cheating philosophers from afar.
Yeah, so these are different philosophers who Bhaktivinoda Thakur seeing this is our material position. We're wandering in this material world seeing so many different, according to our activities, we produce karma and then we wander in this material world and we see so many things. And due to forgetting Krishna, we suffer in so many ways, and there are different philosophers who come running to offer us their supposed help with their various philosophies. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they're simply spreading out different traps because they're offering bhukti and mukti. Now, when we say ours is the best and others are not so good, we can understand from this from this perspective, that others in the name of religion, they're offering material, they're offering the promise of material enjoyment or liberation without service to Krishna. They don't emphasize selfless service simply for the sake of love. So we can understand by this test who is promoting selfless service for the sake of loving Krishna only. That is the test. And as much as someone is offering, come to God, you will get lots of money, even come to God will solve all your problems, that's maybe a beginning, but there's further to go than that. So these are actually, all these different philosophers are misleading us and cheating us, because their philosophies, they perpetuate in a different way or in various ways our sense of being inimical to Krishna. And in this regard, Krishna Bahimukh Hoya Bhogavanshi, becoming inimical to Krishna, we desire material enjoyment. Nikartastha Maya Tare Japartya Dari. Then Maya catches us. So that's an action in time. And you say, there's no time in Vaikuntha. It becomes a complex discussion. So Dandavata Durata. We offer respects to these great personalities. They're great personalities, no doubt. Patanjali, Karnad, Jaimini, Gautam. They're great personalities. We offer respects to them from a distance. We don't disrespect, but we don't get close to them. I wonder if someone else could sing, because my voice is getting a little strained here. Anyone else think they can sing it? No? Okay, I'll sing it. Keshava tua jagata bichitra. Keshava tua jagata bichitra. Keshava tua jagata bichitra. Karama bipake bhava bhana brahmai pekalu. Karama bipake bhava bhana brahmai. Pekalu ranga bahu chitra. Pekalu ranga bahu chitra. Tua pada bisriti amar jantrana. Tua pada bisriti amar jantrana. Klesha dahane dahi jai. Klesha dahane dahi jai. Kapila Patanjali Gautam Karna Bhoji. Kapila Patanjali Gautam Karna Bhoji. Jaimini Baudau Ye Dai. Jaimini Buddha Au Ye Jadai. Tabakoi nijamate bhukti mukti jachato. Tabakoi nijamate bhukti mukti jachato. Patai nana bidafa. Patai nana bidafa. Shoshabu banchaka tua bhakti bahimukha. Shoshabu banchaka tua bhakti bahimukha. Kathaye bishamparama. Kathaye bishamparama. Vaibha kambanchane bhatta shoshabu. Boima kabanchane bhat shoshabu. Niramila bibida pasha. Niramila bibida pasha. Dandavat durat bhakati vinod bhelo. Dandavat durat bhakati vinod bhelo. Bhakata charana karisha. Bhakata charana karisha. Keshava tua jagata bichitra. Keshava tua jagata bichitra. Bichita. Hare Krishna, time for Gauranga Arotik Shobha. Gonna have an arati now? The beautiful arati of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the bank of the Ganga, which is attracting the mind of the whole universe. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabihi. Good lines, worth remembering. Important lines. Shavanam srashmaranahani karishe iti kechana. And then the next verse is, shinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshasa, etc.